Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 10th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Today, we will hear them discuss the Gospel from St. Luke and read the Word of Life for June. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
It's a rummage sale of huge proportions. It's so big that it takes a whole week to hold it. From August 13th through 19th, the Santa Rosa de Lima Parish will offer many items that could save you some serious time and money on your Christmas shopping this year. The sale will be held at 203 Santa Rosa de Lima Street in Benavides. Then on August 20th, it's the annual church fiesta beginning at 7:30 a.m. in Benavides Park. There'll be loads of food, a silent auction, games, dance and singing contest, and music by Beto Ramon and Marcos Orozco. Events conclude with Mass and Rosary at 5:30 p.m. For more information on both events, please call the parish office, 361-256-3427.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very good. Good morning, Barbara, and to all of our listeners. Very happy to be with you this morning.
Yes, we're already in June. The summer will be here and gone before we know it, but
right.
In the meantime, we'll enjoy it.
Rain, 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 sun, sun, sun. Huh?
Yeah.
We've had
an
interesting...
Mosquitoes, mosquitoes, mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes, my goodness.
As I mentioned in the preface, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
Right. And just as an introduction, we know that St. Luke is often seen in puts Jesus in scenes of healing and bringing people life. So it's very appropriate that this gospel would be brought to our attention this morning of Jesus healing the man who had died. So we'll begin. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this, the bearers halted, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, crying out, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding regions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, I've noticed several times when we, on each Sunday, we'll have the first and the second readings and then the Gospels. And sometimes they're related and sometimes they're not. But with this Gospel reading and our first reading, it was very similar. Elijah, the reading from Kings Book 1, Elijah found a sick person and was able to heal. And so the same thing with Jesus in our Gospel reading. So very similar concepts.
Right. But more so, I mean, in Jesus, it's certainly the power of God in both. But
right.
It is the power of God in Jesus himself working this miracle of bringing the young man back to life. And I think what we also can very easily point out here is, you know, the whole reality of death and life, and certainly Jesus as God and man, Son of God and Son of Man, in him was both, whereas Elijah was not that way as a prophet. But here it is God visiting his people. And this is interesting that the crowd, that was one of the things that the crowd was crying out, that God has visited his people. Looking at that, we might ask ourselves, what did they notice? And I think certainly the power of life over death is something that is a theme for all of us. And St. Paul in the book of Romans brings that out. We do this at the opening rite of a funeral, where we read from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, that if we have died with him, we shall rise with him. And this is one of those moments in the life of Jesus and his ministry that he takes death and brings forth life. And of course, this man, as Lazarus as well, they died again. So there is the other life that Jesus gives to us. But in this moment, I think we certainly wants to give life to the man to also address the pain and the sorrow of his mother being the only son. It made me reflect as I looked at this gospel of the hold that death has in a person's life. In other words, the power of death in the human experience. Death, for those that remain, those of us that remain in suffering the death of a loved one, especially if it's a spouse or a child, a grandson, or a very, very close friend, it has a certain power over our emotions. It makes us stop and look deep within. There is certainly pain that comes with it, a moral pain, a spiritual pain, a psychological pain that comes in. It certainly can create a deep sorrow. And without hope, that sorrow can take a lasting hold on a person where they can't get beyond or see in that. But in that experience of power, of the power of death, Jesus enters this scene, and I think this scene certainly captures the power of death in this mother's life. She was already a widow, and now her only son had died. The power of death in Jesus then meets the power of life. And I think that's what we should focus on today. The power of the human experience meets and encounters the power of God in our life. And so Jesus, in raising this man from the dead, brings back to the woman and to those around her a deep sense of mercy, his own mercy and compassion for her and for the situation. Restoring her son brings love back into her life, a love that she would have never known before because she was immersed in this sorrow, the pain of facing life alone. It also brings a new light and absolutely a new peace. And so that's not just in this one situation. This is the experience of God among us, God with us. That when we are in this grip of death, this grip of pain, sorrow, and it could be other things, not just physical death. It could be the death through the loss of a job. It can be, you know, a divorce. It can be so many things that
the
really
finality of something
takes a grasp on our emotions. And without Jesus, without this power of life over death, we can give in to this pain and this sorrow, even leading to a psychological depression, et cetera, and worse things, which can lead to physical harm as well. And this is the great power of Jesus, the leading from going from death and leading us to life. The hallmark here is faith, that we place our faith in him. We have to spend time with him, get to know him in order to place that faith in him. But in these moments especially, and I, this past couple of weeks, I've done a couple of funerals, the funeral of a cousin's wife, just in her 60s, and the long illness that she endured and the pain in the family. But to see it all come together at the Mass of the Resurrection, the Mass for her, to see that mercy of God at work in their lives, the love of God that came also through their mother, the wife. I saw forgiveness in certain places, there was a new light and a new peace, as we kind of concluded. This is all the power of Jesus. It's the power of this simple scene of him stepping forward and saying, "Do not weep," and calling forth this young man, "I tell you, arise." And so in our own life, then, this is the pattern, to go from death to life. The things that may be bothering us today, here it is Sunday, this, you know, the past week, just review the week. What pained you? What gave you sorrow in your life this past week? This is the power of death. Now we lead to Sunday, to the resurrection, and we attend Mass, and we come to visit, or if we're not Catholic, we're attending another our own church and hearing the Word of God. And that brings a light and a peace. It's not disjointed from the sorrow. I think that's the other thing we need to be careful of in the Christian life, is not to disconnect resurrection, these light moments, these peaceful moments, from the death, because death leads to resurrection. Darkness leads to light. They're intimately and intricately connected. So the light that we may receive today on this day of resurrection is the light that shines on the darkness that we may have experienced this past week. This is the journey of faith. This is the journey of Jesus, that Jesus is Lord both of life, and in our own sorrow, our own crosses, our own suffering, he is Lord of life because he brought those to the cross. He too suffered as we suffer, and brought it all to the cross. This is the human side of Jesus, living with us as Son of Man and sharing in all this, the travails of life. But he is also Lord of death. He's Lord because he has risen from the dead and has conquered this life that we call at times death, sorrow, pain. So our faith is always in him, no matter what the situation is in our life at this present moment.
And of course, this is where we find peace and joy.
It's also, you know, a time, I think, if you look at, you know, Christianity, it has that which we sometimes overlook, the eschatological meaning to it, which means that Jesus is also pointing us to the next life. It's not just peace and joy now so I can be happy and go my way. It's peace and joy now as an experience of what will come in the fullness when we see God face to face. Now we can only see through faith. We see as through a veil what will be. So any time that we experience this joy and peace, it's not to be just embraced and taken for granted in the present, but it is a foretaste. And I think this is this is the hors d'oeuvre, you know, of what will come. And so we need to always keep that, what we call the eschatological, the end times, the eschatological experience of this as well.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will hear the Word of Life for June. Please stay with us.
This year's Schoenstatt Girls Youth Summer Camp will be June 20th through the 22nd, or June 24th through the 26th for girls ages 9 through 12. Registration forms and deposits must be received by May 27th. The camps are 3 days of fun, fellowship, Holy Mass, and loads of exciting activities. If you have questions, call Sister Sandra at Schoenstatt Girls Youth in Rockport, 361-249-5093.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this being the first Sunday of the month, we have our Word of Life for June, and it's by Mark this time.
Right, it's from the Gospel of Mark, and be at peace with one another. You know, and I hope people are taking these seriously and trying to experience it in so many ways. This last month, I had a couple of experiences with the Word of Life and with the help of some of the other meditations and readings on it. But it was from the Book of Revelation this past month, and speaking of God being with his people and God being in us. And there were a couple of times, you know, that I was in situations with, you know, we all have different experiences in relationships. And I was with someone who had, we didn't always see eye to eye. And you know, just to realize that this was a child of God, that God loved him. I mean, it was her. God loved her as much as he loved me. And, you know, you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay. And it really kind of calms down those differences that we have between us. And so the word of life, the word of God, we just take one sentence a month, but these words just kind of ameliorate, they make better each of these situations, and they bring us to a new realization of who we are, because Christianity is not just about a set of moral teachings. It's not just about experiencing prayer. All of those, we have to. That's part of that. It's not just about the liturgical side, but it's also the social side. And I think this is the call today of spiritual life, is to enter into the social dimension, which means, you know, that the spiritual life is not just focused on me and my relationship with God, but me and my relationship with God and my relationship to my brothers and sisters. So how I approach that, the word guides us in those kinds of relationships. So I invite everyone to come back to listen to the Word of Life on the website, to download the words there, take them for meditation, and really live them out, because that's what's going to create a better world. I did an interview recently with on the Crooks of the News, and they asked me to speak a little bit, and part of it was about this Word of Life, and they were asking about the world and peace and our own politics, and is there any hope? And it's the Word of God. And, I mean, just think of this one that we're about to read, be at peace with one another. Let's stick that on the platform.
That's right.
Of a few parties, the only two parties in our country, and see what we can come up with. Not just be at peace with the world through war, but be at peace with one another, number one, because peace builds peace. So let's begin. Right. Be at peace with one another. In the midst of all the conflicts that are harming humanity in many parts of the world, how welcome is Jesus' invitation to peace. It keeps hope alive when we realize that he himself is peace and that he promised to give us his peace. Mark's gospel places these words of Jesus at the end of a list of instructions to his disciples. While meeting at home in Capernaum, he explains how they should live as a community. The conclusion is clear. Everything must lead to peace, which contains every good. It is a peace we are called to experience in our daily lives, in our families, at work, with those who have different political ideas. It is a peace that is not afraid to face contrary opinions, which we need to speak openly about if we want a unity that is always more true and profound. It is a peace that, at the same time, demands that we should take care that our relationship of love never dwindles, because the other person is more valuable than any differences that may exist between us. Speaking on German television in 1988, Kara Lubick said, "Wherever unity and mutual love come to be, there is peace, indeed true peace. Because where there is mutual love, there is a certain presence of Jesus among us, and he truly is peace, peace par excellence." End quote. Kara's ideal of unity was born during World War II, and it immediately seemed the antidote to hatred and ruptures in society. From then on, when faced with any conflict, Kara persistently put forward the gospel logic of love, as can be seen in a few citations from her book in 1994, Saints Together. When, for example, war exploded in Iraq in 1990, she expressed bitter surprise at hearing, quote, words that we thought had been buried, such as the enemy, our enemies, hostilities are beginning, and the war bulletins about prisoners, defeats. We realize with dismay that this was a blow to the fundamental Christian principle of Jesus' commandment par excellence, his new commandment. Instead of loving one another, instead of being ready to die for one another, here is humankind again in the abyss of hatred, contempt, torture, and killing. End quote. She asked herself how we could escape this, and I quote, "We must knit together, wherever possible, new relationships, or deepening those that already exist between those of us who are Christians and the followers of other monotheistic faiths, Muslims and Jews," end quote. In other words, the solution would involve all those engaged in the conflict at that time. The same is true when faced with any kind of conflict. We must weave together among individuals and peoples relationships of listening, of love, as Kara would also say, to the point of, quote, "being ready to die for one another," end quote. It is necessary to set aside one's own positions in order to understand the others, even though we know that we will not always manage to understand them completely. The others can do the same with me, although at times they too may not understand me and my positions. But nonetheless, we want to stay open to the other, even when there is difference and lack of understanding. Before all else, saving our relationship. The gospel makes it a command, be at peace. Making it a command is a sign that serious and tough commitment is called for. It is one of those essential expressions of the love and mercy we are called to have for one another. Written by Father Fabio Chardi, an oblate priest.
Well, you know, she was such a forward thinker, because so true years ago and so true now.
Yes, I mean, having known her personally, and of course myself being born after the war, but kind of walking her steps in Trent where she lived, and reliving through the history, and having the stories told even in the place where some of these things that she wrote took place, you can almost feel the horrors of war that she experienced, because she didn't come, as it says, she didn't come out of just a joyful place in life. She came out of war. I mean, her experience came from war and hunger and poverty, really, with her family. But to have the gospel guide her, as she invites it, continues to invite us to remedy our situations with the gospel and with love. And, you know, Barbara, sometimes, you know, people want you to face me, to face these huge problems in our own political situation. I mean, you know, it's no secret. It's horrific. The way that people speak about each other, talk about one another, and encamp in ideologies and forget the neighbor. I come out and I say again, as she did, and I guess I'm reading this Word of Life today, gives me the new strength to do it. The answer is not in who wins and who loses. The answer is loving one another. And as long as that is in front of us, the job's never done. I don't care who wins. Mm-hmm. The job is not done until we seek peace. And that's why, as Christians, yes, our faith teaches, Jesus teaches us a certain truth in morals of how we should live our life and how we should treat one another, spirituality, liturgy, but above all, with all of that, I shouldn't say above all, together with all of that, we are to build a world of peace. That's why his last prayer was, "Father, may they all be one." And that comes through loving one another. I don't have to change. I'm not going to change who I am or what I believe. But out of that, of what I believe motivates me to open myself to the person that believes differently. That's what Jesus did. He sat at the table of the sinners, of the tax collectors. He associated with the sinners. He did everything that we would think today is wrong, mm-hmm. that we shouldn't do. And yet he himself did it. And so as a true Christian, whether we're Catholic or another tradition of the Christian church, it is our obligation to build peace. Peace at home, peace in our communities, peace at work. And that happens by looking at the other person as a child of God and loving that person. This is not theory that we're talking about here. This is truth. This is the truth about who I am, who you are, and who everyone who professes faith in Jesus Christ is. It's not about politics, winning and losing. It is about building. Now, we have to live in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. Our mentality as Christians needs to be something else than what it is today.
Thank you, Bishop.
Be at peace with one another.
If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, from whom all good things come, grant that we who call on you in our need may at your prompting discern what is right, and by your guidance do it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.